Coming up on the Panel Scanners podcast, Johnny and Phil liked Avengers vs. X-Men, until they didn't. Darren starts to wonder about the characterization of the next-gen crew in Doctor Who and Star Trek The Next Generation. And Johnny retro reviews Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. It's Panel Scanners Episode 6, and it's happening now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening from Nervous Dog Coffee Bar in Stowe, Ohio. I'm Johnny Capps. Welcome to Panel Scanners, which is your access to the world of comic books. We are dorky people talking about dorky things. We're enjoying the all-American art form of comic books. With me, as always, is Darren.
Excelsior.
And Phil.
How's it going?
Come on, Phil. You gotta give us some dorky.
Hey, no, I don't have anything.
All right, so what's going on in comic books? Right now, going on right now is the New York Comic Con.
It's actually over.
Is it over?
Yeah, it ended.
All right, so New York Comic Con is over.
It was last weekend. Like the second biggest outside of San Diego? Like everything else is like a distant second?
Something like that, yeah.
How does that circuit work?
It's one of the big...
I have no idea.
Is it the Wizard Circuit? Because we had one of those in Cleveland. It was the Screaming Tiki Con like 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I went. It was okay.
I'm nervous about the Akron one coming up, but...
When is that?
Beginning of November.
Oh. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, we should probably get the tickets, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that...
But anyways,
are we big enough to get comped yet?
No.
No.
Okay. I think we have like 5 listeners.
Is one of them in power?
Go for it.
If you are in power and you're listening to this, no matter where you found access to this, and you have some way to comp us tickets for any con, really.
But should we? Because isn't this something we should be supporting?
I mean, we are supporting it. I spend lots of money on comics.
That's
and
true.
I'm sure I spend lots of money when I got
Anytime we show up there, we're definitely supporting the venue.
And you know we'll buy something.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll
I mean, if there are comics, one of us is going to buy something.
That's true.
So.
Especially since I just started HeroClix.
What's going on there?
I had some friends talk me into it, and I mentioned it to some of my other friends, and they were like, you know, I've been embarrassed to tell anyone, but for years we wanted to try it. I'm like, all right, screw it, let's just do it. So we kind of jumped in. I bought a booster, and I'm going to buy some other stuff.
What is a booster?
It's just like 5 characters that are random.
So can you give me like a give me the quick run?
I've yet to play.
Okay.
So it's a little... I'm still very new, trying to figure it out. It's like you're playing some sort of battle thing on a map, and you use characters normally, either DC or Marvel. You can blend. There's also Street Fighter and things like that, but it tends to be Marvel and DC. So, like, Batman can literally fight Cyclops and hopefully rip his head off. So you move him around the board.
See, now I'm interested.
Yeah, you roll dice, and as you do damage, you click your characters, and it changes their stats. Some people, as they get beat up more, such as Hulk, becomes more powerful because he's angrier. So I'm still new to it. That's basically all I know. There's different things. You have different powers. You give certain powers out during turns. I'm going to a tournament... on Saturday, that they're going to give me a rundown, teach me, give me some pieces, give me some keys to help me turn my guys better, and I can get back to you guys on what exactly.
I would like to remind anyone listening that Phil is actually married.
Yeah, very much so.
And we gasp in awe.
All right,
It does sound like something I probably would have dug. But to people who are just listening, HeroClix consists of plastic miniature figures on dials.
They have Google. They have Google.
That's true.
Just Google it.
Google HeroClix. It's actually a really cool game.
I've
played it a couple times.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it.
I have a few.
I'm mad at the characters I got.
I actually played
Horror Booster. Oh, yeah, her HeroClix was good.
HeroClix.
Cyclops, Lady Cyclops.
No, it was like Shang-Chi and...
Cyclops Lad.
Other random Avengers. I was hoping for a Spidey.
Canine Clops.
All right, but anyhow, we're way off.
Yeah, we totally blew over Johnny's industry news. Sorry, Johnny, go ahead.
No, it's all right.
So back to the Comic-Con.
The industry news, the New York Comic-Con. Dan Didio?
Didio or Didio, yeah.
Said basically that Stephanie Brown... And Wally West might still be alive, but might not be. depending on what they feel like doing. And that's about the only thing that I found out from New York Comic Con.
Now, see, this is why I am not at all upset that I bailed on the New 52. And I'm not going to comment on the quality of some of the stories, but I went out 2 years ago, and I was super pumped when they brought back Barry Allen. And now there's Wally West and Barry Allen. So Wally West is now dead. Witch Flat. I mean, it's
Wally
just like,
West might not be dead.
Can we just assume at this point that it is like the no one's ever dead?
Yeah.
And now it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like you can kill off Flash twice. You can literally kill him off. You can kill him off four times, right?
I don't know.
It's
any
character that's big that does that to it. Like Jean Grey, they found a way to bring her back again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I'm sure Xavier's going to come back and all that stuff.
Of course.
The only thing I heard from New York Comic Con was Dan Slott, the longtime writer of Spider-Man. He is the third longest writer, if you did not know that.
I did not.
He was also rated number 6 as the best Spider-Man writer ever, which is interesting. He is destroying us Spidey fans by talking about the new title, Superior Spider-Man, that's going to be a Marvel Now title in January. It is already a well-known fact that issue 700 of Amazing Spider-Man is the end to that title. And something bad is going to happen to Peter Parker, and all he has teased, now this is Dan Slott, so he could be just messing with us, is that Spider-Man is no longer Peter Parker in Superior Spider-Man. Now, Dan Slott also said Dan Slott is no longer writing Spider-Man. Another Dan Slott, an evil Dan Slott, is writing it for him. And he's also messing with us because he's reprinting the original release of the Alpha character, Andy McGuire, with Alpha, I think it's 0.5 randomly. And what it is it's the small part of that anniversary issue of Spider-Man that's just the Alpha story, is being released in January in tandem with Superior Spider-Man.
Oh,
so I don't know if he's doing that just to mess with all of us and think it could be Andy McGuire, and I hope he is. But
from
right now he's saying, trust me. That's it. Just trust me.
From everything you told me about Alpha, it sounds like he's going to be the new Spider-Man.
Well, the general consensus on the internet and everywhere else and anybody else I've talked to is Alpha was a douche.
Well, the whole title, Superior Spider-Man, is a douchey title.
Everything I've seen so far is interesting, but I don't want to get into it until it's there. And that's the big
good
thing.
Good call.
We need to stop speculating. Let the man write. He's had some great runs.
Dan Slott, I have trust in Dan.
I do too.
He's a good man. Good writer.
So anything else? That's all I really have.
That's
Marvel Now is just kind of
One thing that's coming out, I don't think that this may not be from Comic-Con, but it looks like the Justice League movie is set for a summer 2015, and they're saying they're going to shoot this summer, or summer 2013, they're going to have to start shooting. They'd have to.
Yeah.
So we should be starting to hear who's going to be directing and who's going to start playing and which characters will be in the movie. I don't know about you guys, but this thing just seems like, right now, it seems like it's going to end up being a giant mess.
Yeah.
To me.
Which, we were talking about this before. It was either last podcast or the one before, where we're discussing the characters in the Avengers movie and how they don't really need to add anyone. And I'm already starting to hear that
they're definitely adding people.
They're adding Ms. Marvel. They've started a casting for her. That's the only one I've heard for sure. But that's one.
Well, they could use a stronger female.
That's what
they're saying.
That's
a good
addition
to the cast.
But
which is, I mean, yeah, she's not.
But I mean, it's one of those things. I with any superhero movie, I'm a firm believer in wait and see. Because I remember when Batman Begins came out. Which is a phenomenal movie. I remember going to the theater with very low expectations.
I think that's one of the few movies that debuted at number 3 in its first week and then hit number 1 just by virtue of word of mouth. Like, I remember walking out of that theater going, oh my God. Oh my God.
No,
look where it came from. Batman and Robin. Speaking of oh my God moments, I mean, that was horrible.
Out of the wreckage of nippled costumes, it rose like the phoenix and became...
don't say phoenix.
No. Dude.
I'm upset over here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's too soon.
So anyway, as far as industry news goes, I think you're right.
It's
kind of a dry period.
I actually did hear something else.
Oh, okay.
This is about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested in that.
Phil Coulson is a member of the cast. He's a member of the characters. He's one of the characters.
Phil Coulson.
Well, he was the agent.
Agent.
What was his name in the movie? Agent.
Agent
Coulson. I thought that was
Phil Coulson.
Yeah, he was the one who got killed.
Yes, he was.
How is he
Well, that's what they're speculating on.
Clones!
Okay, sorry.
Alright.
So
I think
that's
yeah. Maybe it'll be like, at least it's...
It's Joss Whedon. He can do whatever. I mean...
I have faith.
Like, yeah. Mr. Spock, actually, I found it the time to logical to fake my death.
Yes!
Maybe one of the great slash worst resurrections of characters of all time, when they killed Spock and they brought him
and
back.
And they brought him back.
You're like, at least he didn't just, like, kind of... Anyway, that's a... I don't want to digress
here. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So, yeah. All right. So that's industry news. We are moving now into what you've been reading, where we talk about the books that we've been reading.
Good and way to put it.
What's been going on in our... Yeah. So I'm going... Darren, I'm going to pass it to you. Tell us what you've been reading.
I'm leading off this one. All right.
Yes.
I have been reading The Rocketeer. And when I picked up... There are two Rocketeer titles going on right now, and I've got them both. And the first one's just Rocketeer Adventures, and I've got all four. I don't know if there's a five yet.
Oh, that's by IDW.
Yes.
Okay.
IDW, and it's an anthology, so there, it's got multiple stories. But they have started the first ongoing saga or storyline, the Rocketeer Cargo of Doom, which is off to a pretty decent start. There are dinosaurs, which was a bit off-putting. But I'm kind of like, all right, 1930s, it's got that whole, like, Saturday morning serial feel to it, like some of those old, like the old Supermans and the old Batmans, not the Adam West ones, but the old 1940s serials, and that is essentially what The Rocketeer was based on. I kind of liked it,
nice.
So I'm going to keep going with that. Finding Gossamer was something I'd been looking forward to for a while. It was those... comic book fans would have seen it on the table for free,
yes, comic
book
day.
And what they read was actually the first about dozen or so pages of the book. And I like it. It's pretty good. It's very fantasy. It's about a young boy who's clearly a ingenue in the world of science, mathematics, and equation and problem solving. Mm-hmm. And he sort of is given this equation to solve, and he stops solving it because he's like, no, because if I solve this equation, I'm going to open the door, and I can't keep the door open. The door is actually into another dimension where we meet a couple of two different races. Digitally, I've been reading Smallville Season 11, as I say, because 10 years of Smallville was not enough, but Batman showed up. It's been about as good as you would expect it to be.
All right.
I won't say much more than that. I was reading Star Trek Year 4, which has ended. I think it was a mini-series, though.
Yeah.
I have to say, it was a little bit laborious, but it felt like 60s Star Trek. So
nice.
I kind of liked it. It's worth a read, especially it's like 99 cents on Comixology. I don't know about you guys. I'm still reticent to pick up things on Comixology, but there, you know. There's also, as much as we love the idea of collecting comics, which, you know, just so people who are listening know, I've got a stack sitting right next to me. But there's also a space issue to consider, and I don't know if it's not necessarily the price of the comic, or is more of, am I willing to set aside space in my collection to fit this comic in there? Something like Star Trek Year 4 or Smallville Season 11 specifically is not something I'm going to try to bag and board and try to file away somewhere. Another one of those is G.I. Joe Origins, which got off, as I think I mentioned last time, got off to an absolutely stunning start. I couldn't stop put it down. I could not put it down. It was great. I was buying issues left and right on my phone. And I'm still doing it. It's kind of tapered off a little bit, but it's still worth a little bit of time. Star Trek The Next Generation and Doctor Who. I'll get to that in Stuck, Stick, and Payanara.
Sayonara.
And I believe that is it. Shadow... I'm reading The Shadow, but I'm missing an issue, so I haven't read anything since last we met.
All right.
And The Phantom, The Last Phantom, has yet to come off a hiatus.
All right. Thank you, Darren.
Oh,
Phil.
My turn.
Yes.
Oh, my lord.
And
I have a lot more.
All right.
I think we chuckled last week at Johnny's doing of this, but I have a giant stack in front of me, so I'm just going to kind of run titles. New Avengers, End Times. Heading toward the last few issues, bad stuff is going on. Avengers End Times. I said bad stuff's going on in the last one. Bad stuff's going on. There's actually some chick in the Microverse who's an Avenger, but we don't know who she is, who's trying to contact these guys, and Wonder Man showed back up after his little issue before. He's so wonderful with his Wonder Man self. Secret Avengers, which was ending Connection to the Abyss. It's been focusing heavily on Venom and Ant-Man, who they've been just bumping around that Ant-Man is actually evil, which we finally see that he is. Avengers Academy, second to last issue. I enjoyed it. It was special. It was the Avengers Academy versus Wolverine and the X-Men. Not like battling, and they were playing flag football. But the fun thing was they were kind of supposed to not use their powers, and they did. And all the adults, the teachers, used their powers intentionally to get kicked out of the game so the kids learn how to work together. So it's kind of showing them trying to build new bridges after that garbage that we just finished reading in the Marvel Universe. Minimum Carnage started. In my opinion, it was a little rocky out the gate. I'm always iffy about the Microverse. I don't know why. But
what is the Microverse?
It is, well, kind of what it sounds like. It's a miniature universe that exists in like another dimension, basically, and they find a way to access it in this called the Prometheus Pit, and some people from the Microverse are coming to get Carnage to use Carnage to kill off their enemy in the Microverse, because Carnage is insane. Obviously, that's going to kill off. Which picked up in part two in Scarlet Spider, which is when I started enjoying it a little bit more. Scarlet Spider and Venom had a little bit of a falling out. And Venom, Flash Thompson, is losing a little bit of his power over his suit.
How is Kane going to fight Venom, though?
He did an okay job.
Oh, did he?
Yes,
he
did. Yeah.
Is the Scarlet Spider the one who was the clone?
He was
Ben Reilly originally.
Is he with the one? Well, who is Ben Reilly?
Ben Reilly was the clone. Kane was...
We've had this conversation.
Clone, yeah. Okay. Kane was the failed one clone of Peter Parker.
That had, like, the tattered blue hoodie costume one.
That was Ben Reilly.
Can I tell you something?
What up?
Love that costume.
It was great, right?
I saw that costume. I went, that's freaking
cool. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I actually really like the current Scarlet Spider costume. I like it quite a bit. I don't know why. There's just something about it. Anakin Cloak, which is awesome.
I read Civil War.
Yeah.
What was that?
that was
eight-leg armed Spider-Man.
Iron Man.
I couldn't believe it.
Iron Man's low jack of
Moving on, Minimum Carnage number 3 was in Venom. Once again, picking up more. Starting to enjoy Minimum Carnage at this point. I'm excited to see where it goes. Also, we're about to get a Carnage fight, which is important. That's what I've been waiting for. Sticking with my Spider-Man related comics, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. I am still loving this book.
Miles Morales.
He's so surprisingly good as Spider-Man. Mm. Because it's kind of like, you guys know that I started reading Spider-Man from number one, Amazing Spider-Man. It's kind of my tribute 50-year thing of Spider-Man. Miles Morales is so different when he's learning everything. And at this point, he's only like 2 or 3 issues in with having the web shooters, and he's still learning them. And it's so cool. And there is a great moment of them fighting Hydra on the roof of the SHIELD building that is just awesome. To the point that Captain America is in it. And this is the issue that we find out if he becomes an Ultimate or not. And also when Captain America is sworn in as the President.
And that's in the Ultimate Universe.
That is the Ultimate.
Now, are they going to keep that going?
The Ultimate Universe?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's doing well at this point. Continuing with Spider-Man, we have Amazing Spider-Man. This is supposedly one of our final runs with the Hobgoblins. Notice the plural. Phil Urich and Kingsley are going to end up fighting. As of right now, Spider-Man's Spidey sense is so...
Is it Phil Urich or Ben Urich?
Phil Urich.
Phil Urich was originally Green Goblin.
Sure.
Okay.
It's hard to follow. right. But Spider-Man's spider sense are super sensitive right now. So even like if someone is like close to stepping on him, it goes off and he freaks out.
Got it.
They're doing that to him. Avenging Spider-Man was fun. We had some Hobo Hustler and Deadpool. It was just a fun comic. I laughed a lot.
I love Deadpool.
Wolverine and the X-Men. God. consistently good. It's mind-blowing, I showed right? Johnny the end of it, and he is upset. He needs to pick it up.
I am so mind-blowing.
Uncanny X-Men, finally over. We'll leave it at that. I'm glad. Only one big thing happened in that, and it deals with with Colossus being the Juggernaut or not anymore. AVX Round 12. I'm going to get into that next time.
You're going to do a...
I'm doing a giant AVX why I am upset or not, because I'm going to reread the whole batch starting tonight or tomorrow from beginning to end. By the time I'm done with it, the last issue, Consequences, should be out. Should be fresh in my mind by the time we get to the next podcast, and I should be able to have adequate responses to how I feel. Because right now, I am not happy. And the ending was just weak.
I don't think anybody...
Whatever. So, all in that was the actual round 12. The Versus comic, which was good. I really enjoyed them all the way through. All six of them were great. Consequences, AVX Consequences 1 and 2, are all dealing with conversation with Cyclops. Hip, hip, hooray.
Which kind of gives away the ending of AVX.
Well, I mean, it's out there. I think it's pretty
obvious. Cyclops isn't dead.
He's not dead. Someone else is. Uncanny Avengers started... last week, and I'm interested. It's nice seeing Havoc in a leading role, and I have a really cool picture of
it. I saw that cover. That's kind of
great. It's a great alternate.
That reminds me of the Simpsons joke when they had Alan Moore as a guest star in the Simpsons. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I did.
Where he's like, what was it, Watchmen Babies and V for Vacation?
Yes.
He's like, what are you talking about? You didn't sell out. Look at this.
But that's good. I'm interested as to where it's going. Red Skull's in it, and we're seeing some Rogue and Scarlet Witch. And
that was fun. I liked seeing that.
There's some weird stuff going on there, though. The whole tower thing. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It was still fun.
And then, to top off the stack, yes, I am finally done, and yes, I did read all these this month, and these are all actual paper copies. That means I purchased them. I'm lucky I have a bank account still. But the last issue for the month was Hawkeye number 3. And I'll get into that in the Sick Picks Stuck Sayonara. That is all for me, which is a lot.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing else. I mean, other than reading up to issue 98 of Amazing Spider-Man. But, you know, I have a life. That's it for me. Moving on to Johnny.
All right. So this month, I'm just going to go rapid fire through the books that I'm reading. It's Animal Man, Batgirl, Batman, Catwoman, Fables, Ferrest, Frankenstein,
yikes.
Justice League,
yikes.
Phantom Stranger,
yikes.
Swamp Thing, Uncanny Avengers, and Wolverine and the X-Men.
See, Phil, that's how it's done.
So
yeah, but see, when we get to Stuck Picks Stick Sign,
I'll review the books.
Sticks.
That I'm
going to be
on.
Like, remember how I talked about this already? I hate it now.
Yeah. So that's what I'm reading.
We cover a lot of ground in the comic industry, don't we?
Yeah,
mostly DC
we
and
did.
Marvel.
We did.
IDW is
so,
what I'm going with.
What I'm reading now. All right, so moving on to the Stuck Stick Pick Sayonara.
Hold on.
Arrow. Oh, okay.
It's on my DVR. I haven't watched it, so I'm out of this.
Alright, so Darren and I are going to be talking about the new CW drama called Arrow.
Because they won't call him Green Arrow.
Well,
it's implied, because his hood is green.
The hood is definitely green.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the episode.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
It was off to a good start. I'm excited to watch the next one.
They really established Oliver Queen, his character, and who he's trying to become.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they kind of developed him farther from the boat wreck and his time on the island. How his character even is in development from now, from the playboy to the responsible adult. I mean, even in the evidence. And I've seen a lot of people commenting on the... Well, what do you feel about it?
I read some of the comments and the criticisms, which was like, how did he get all those power, or how did he become a great fighter and a great archer on the island? We didn't see any of that. I'm like, well, you know,
it's
obviously we're going to see a lot of flashback sequences from him on the island and them teasing Deathstroke. You saw Deathstroke's mask on the island with an arrow through the head. You're like, That was right off the bat. They hit you with that really early. Like, yeah. Okay. So I think it's not too presumptuous to say that it looks like maybe Deathstroke has a hand in training him while he's on the island, that he doesn't just go on this island and is abandoned there. There's probably some other stuff going on, which I think is a smart move. I also was... the one thing I thought they did very well, and it was such a simple little move to establish the character of Laurel Lance, was when she hated him at the beginning, and then there was that, all of a sudden, that 180 towards the end, hey, I was thinking about you a lot. And I'm like, really? Like, 5 minutes ago, she hated him. You blamed him for the death of your sister, and now you're fine with him? But then they revealed a little bit, like, you have a mutual friend. Yeah. Who clearly said, well, come on, give the guy a break, you know, and probably talked her into it. I'm like, it was a very simple, subtle move that kept you, because that would have taken me right out of the story. It wouldn't have made any sense.
Well, see, the issue that I picked up on that was he was dating Laurel Lance whenever he was on the ship.
Right.
And he was cheating on her with her sister.
Well, he was cheating on everyone. I mean, he is obviously, they're making him out to be like George Clooney, I guess, is just sitting around, he's not with anyone for too long.
Right. But I just... He was really a dog.
Yeah, he was. Clearly. And
I'm on the opposite side. I don't think she got over it quite as quickly.
Well, what I'm saying is it doesn't seem like she did, but they at least went through the trouble of explaining that their mutual friend is kind of dating Laurel Lance. Oh, it's who they're calling Merlin.
Yes.
Yeah, they're calling him Merlin, and he's dating Laurel Lance. So it was... It was basically saying, you know, this is my best friend too. So it was her trying to mend the fence for the sake of someone else. It wasn't like she just had a 180 out of nowhere. But I thought one of the action scenes was cheesy, but some of the other action scenes were very well done.
And that scene in the warehouse was really great. Nice.
And when he broke into that apartment, that was really
good. The apartment was good. The office was okay.
Yeah, that was...
It was cute. No, yeah. It wasn't cute. It was good. It wasn't.
He is
the best.
More, I would say, he looks like he's more leaning towards the vengeance of someone like the Crow, like James O'Brien's Crow.
Very appreciated.
Where
that,
instead of Batman, where Batman won't kill, it doesn't look like. It looks like this. This Green Arrow has a very cloudy moral code.
This guy doesn't. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, he's got a very clear moral code. He just doesn't have the limitations.
He offed some people in this.
Yeah. I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm not happy about a vigilante, you know, taking the law into their own hands. It's comic books. We've seen.
We know it's fine.
But yeah. But no, I was happy to see him actually going the distance and pulling
a
Rorschach on these people.
Yeah, I'm excited for the series. I so far, so good.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're going to get a lot of guest stars. Captain Jack Harkness himself is in the show.
I'm happy.
He's
going to
be around.
Not Jack Harkness, but John Barrowman.
That'd be a very strange crossover.
Yeah, it would. That'd be so cool.
But yeah, John Barrowman's in it. They got a good cast, so...
Yeah, and they've got some good characters planned out here.
You should check it out, Phil. It's worth your time.
I really am.
It's worth your time.
Like, I don't hate DC. I just...
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone... I mean, I don't hate Marvel, but it's just like... Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I mean,
it is a very good show.
I might have to check it out.
Awesomeness.
So now we're on to Stick, Pick, Stuck, Sayonara.
Stick, Pick, Sayonara. Get it right. Stuck, Stick, Pick, Sayonara.
Meh.
Stuck, or just stick, SSPS. Stick,
Pick, Sayonara.
SSPS.
SSPS.
So you read it like that. It took me like 2 minutes in a rundown to be like, wait, is he talking about SSPS? Later on we were talking about the ABX stuff,
Alright, do I start out this week? Alright, no, we are talking about the books that we are reading. And then... I'm so exhausted. We are talking about the books that we are reading, and we are talking about what we are loving and what we are not. And Darren is going to lead us into this section and tell us everything that's been going on in his life.
I am stuck on... I'll say I'm stuck on The Rocketeer right now. I'm very much enjoying
it. Yeah, it sounds like you're
pretty... It's very nostalgic for me. I am stuck on The Ninja Turtles. I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I'm about
12 issues, or let's see, I'm up to issue 6, and they're up to 13, so I got to catch up, and I'm missing a few issues. Mm. But they kind of had, they're looking for a balance between what everyone grew up as the cartoon show and people like me who started out with the old Eastman and Laird comics, which was not the cartoon show. It was very gritty, and it was very, very, and it was
very real.
And a very indie feel to it. So I'm stuck on that. I'm enjoying both of those. Really looking forward to The Last Phantom resuming. Hopefully that'll be soon. I don't have anything to say on The Shadow, as indicated before. I'm missing an issue. Haven't picked up the new issue of Masters of the Universe yet.
Okay. Are you intending to?
Yes. You and I are differing on this one, so I'm hoping you'll read it too.
Haven't read anything beyond the first issue because, like, I am overcommitted already.
Yeah, you are. I'll float them your way.
All right.
I am going to stick with Doctor Who and Star Trek's The Next Generation. First of all, Amy Pond is the only one who can reason with Jean-Luc Picard. And they're making a... First of all, some of the artwork, if you look in here, and I'm going to show you, like, some of the artwork is absolutely fantastic and stunning. Like, this guy's work on close-ups, I don't know his name off the top of my head. It's very good. But then I'll show you some moments in here. Like, that doesn't look like Rory at all.
No.
But then look, there's some really weird-looking Jean-Luc Picard. It's like he doesn't... It's very inconsistent artwork. Like, look at Matt Smith there. He looks great. Right? Yeah. But then in other panels, it just looks nothing like him whatsoever. There's one picture of Picard in here where he just looks like he's got the thickest, bushiest eyebrows. He looks like an old Italian chef. That's not it. Oh. As opposed to Captain of the USS Enterprise. And also, they're doing a poor job characterizing, I think, the cast of The Next Generation. look at that right there.
Oh, man.
It just looks
That's
weird.
Horrible.
He looks weird, doesn't he?
It's a mean Picard.
But if you look at... But then look at right here. Like, Guinan looks fantastic. The doctor looks fantastic. And most... Look at his face right here. He's got, like, this big, bulging forehead here. But then look right there. He looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't... And if you look at some of the other... Like, the black and white stuff's good. But if you look at some of the... Look at how Riker stands right there. It's like his shoulders... Yeah, he's like it's like he's a stripper. He's trying to force his chest out to wiggle his boobs so he can get a couple of dollars in his G-string. I mean, it's just. But this panel's fantastic. They're doing a flashback of Picard being assimilated by the Borg.
Yeah.
Which anyone who watched Star Trek remembers that was like one of the biggest holy shit
that
moments.
Was
like
so cool.
Where like the Federation is done. That's over. Good game over, man. But, look, some of this is beautiful, and then in the next panel, you're completely taken out of it. Yeah, exactly. You know, what's going on there? I'm not happy. It's obviously written by people who love Doctor Who, and I don't know how they feel
about Star Trek.
Next Generation, because they're almost sort of brushing aside the cast of The Next Generation, which...
That's...
I've been excited for the Doctor and Jean-Luc Picard to get together and, like, talk and work things out. And they've made Jean-Luc Picard very, very stubborn in this. Which
he's always been stubborn, though.
Towards the Borg, yes, but they're basically like, listen, if you don't do this, thousands, millions of people are going to die.
I'm going to say, looking at this first panel, the little odd couple looking pose that's going on is making me angry. I think
it's look at him right there. He's almost
That's
pouting.
What I'm saying. It's like
he's pouting. Yeah,
it's the odd couple,
and
you
I
can
feel
see
like
even Worf is a little annoyed.
There was a moment in one of the first issues, and I don't know if you saw this, when the Doctor first appears on the bridge of the Enterprise, and the Doctor says to Worf, "Take me to your captain," and Worf goes, "Okay." I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
Worf would? You're lucky he didn't break
no
you in half."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who you are. You don't mess with Worf.
Well, that's what I told you when I handed them back to you. I was like, they were okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with it. I think it goes 12 issues. I will say there's moments in here, though, where he takes Picard into the TARDIS. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of with you now. my pick of the week is Finding Gossamer. And I really think it's something that's just a little bit of a departure. It's from... Third World Studios. It's THRD, Third World Studios. Third World Studios. Good stuff. Chapter 1 by Rodriguez and Elroy. Forgive me for not knowing their first names. I finally did get... I'll show you. I finally got...
Oh, the big one.
The Fairy Quest Outlaws, the Kickstarter. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
I love
but Ramos. Just take a look at it.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
It's
really
one of my favorites.
Just take a look at that. Fairy Quest Outlaws. I supported it back in May. I finally got it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm going to save it for next month.
Is this the complete tale then?
I don't actually know because it's subtitled Outlaws.
To be continued. It's the last page.
Okay, so that's good.
I love Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, Humberto Ramos. One of my favorites.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
So happy.
He seems to strike the right chord between traditional comic art and manga, which is so ragingly popular right now.
Yeah.
I kind of dig some of that stuff. There's a bunch of anime movies I've liked, so I appreciate that. I'm already, like, just looking at the book, hopefully it's good enough, but I'm already over the bad press and they kind of sucker punch their Kickstarter campaign supporters a little bit, but I'm over that. I think I'm pretty happy to have it. Sayonara's, the only ones are really the Star Trek one, but I've started so many new books that I got to give them more time.
Right.
So that's my stuff.
Awesome. And with that, we're moving on to my friend Darren.
I'm in the Rocketeer right now, and then Star Trek The Next Generation.
Wow, John, you need some sleep, man. I thought I was the one that was under the weather. All right, what am I stuck on? Stuck. Let us begin with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, because Bendis is doing a great job with that title. The Amazing Spider-Man, because I'm always going to be stuck on The Amazing Spider-Man. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Slott's going to do after issue 700. Looking forward to Superior. Avenging Spider-Man is picked back up. I'm enjoying it again. And Wolverine and the X-Men, because Johnny and I always...
Oh, it's so much fun.
Get really excited about it. What am I sticking with? I'm sticking with Uncanny Avengers. I just don't have a feel for it yet. So, you know, want to stick with it and see where it's going to go. I'm interested, but, you know. The New Avengers... It's good. It's kind of petering out. It's the last few issues. May as well stick with it through the end. The same with the Avengers. Secret Avengers, I'm enjoying a lot. But I'm always...
Who's doing that right now?
We have Remender.
Okay, Remender.
And Scalera is the artist.
All right.
It's good, but it's not the best thing I'm reading. So I'm just sticking with it. Avengers Academy, I'm sticking with till the end. I have one more issue, and I'm done with it. And the Minimum Carnage series, which will encompass Scarlet Spider and Venom. My Sayonaras, which are just easy because they're discontinued. Haha. Uncanny X-Men is over. It's done. Issue 20 is out. It's closed. Avengers vs. the X-Men, thank God, is over. Round 12... You'll hear more about it next month.
And we're going to go off.
Versus is done. I'm not saying Sayonara Consequences because I've suffered through every single issue of AVX at this point.
You've come this far.
There's three more issues. I'm going to suffer through it.
Do you have that sort of like, maybe there'll be more that'll give me...
You know,
In their defense, we didn't really suffer through rounds 1 through 11. We enjoyed rounds
That's
1
true.
Through 11.
That is true. It's just 12 was such a kick. We're leaving it alone.
All right.
But I'm just tired of Wolverine and Cyclops talking. And that is what Consequences is.
Who wants to talk to Cyclops?
Wolverine, because he's trying not to kill him at the moment.
And Havoc,
because they're brothers.
I will say, in the Ultimate X-Men, when that first got going, I actually did like Scott Summers for a while. Yeah. And when he shot Wolverine, I was like, man, you have it coming.
Also,
kill
Ultimate
that guy.
Cyclops was cool.
Also, back in the day, I didn't mind Cyclops. Initially.
Gene, use the power of your mind.
But I got over it. And my pick of the month. 3 months in a row. Hawkeye.
Matt Fraction.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
It's just like every book it's slightly connected, but just not connected enough that they're standalone stories. You get such a humanized side of Clint Barton. This issue dealt with him trying to organize his arrows with Kate Bishop, the other Hawkeye.
Nice.
And there were just really funny moments of her giving him the wrong arrows, her mocking him for his boomerang arrow, which played a big part in it at the end. And, like, just the whole, like, there's not been any time I haven't set down a Hawkeye issue without a giant smile on my face. I am loving this. That's my pick. How about you, Johnny?
Alright, well, I've already said what I'm reading. So, we're going through Animal Man. Animal Man right now is in Rot World. This Rot World event is so cool. And we're doing that with, see, both Animal Man, Frankenstein, and Swamp Thing.
Oh, so Frankenstein's back.
Yes. I had to for the Rot World. I'm kicking it after this. I mean, it's canceled, so.
Oh, Frankenstein's canceled?
Yeah, they canceled Frankenstein.
Oh, that made your decision easy.
Yeah. I'm not feeling bad, and I'm not going to be collecting back issues to make sure that my collection is complete. But no, we've got the Rot World event running through Swamp Thing, Frankenstein, and Animal Man. Now, this event has been cooking for the past year or so in Swamp Thing and Animal Man with, do you know Anton Arcane?
Yeah, he's the chief baddie for Swamp.
Yeah.
Swamp Man. Or Swamp Thing.
Right. Well, he's connecting with Animal Man, and they are they're changing the world, so that they've got the connection between the green, which is focused on in Swamp Thing, and the red, which is focused on in Animal Man. Those three forces, the green, the red, and the rot, are the three forces that must stay in balance in our world. Now, there are times whenever those forces gain too much power, and, the order is messed up, and, things go haywire. Now, Swamp Thing is the protector of the green. We've got Animal Man, who is not the protector of the red. His daughter is the protector of the red, but his daughter is still a child. So he is the protector of the red. Yes, I said that correct. It's complex, but it's cool. I think Frankenstein's just there because he needs to be there. But what we've got right now is Anton Arcane, who is the avatar of the Rot, is taking over and becoming dominant. And Swamp Thing and Animal Man have to stop that. And that's what the Rot World event is all about. They're sinking into a future where the Rot has taken over and we get zombified versions of the different heroes that have been, affected by the Rot. So you see on the cover of this Animal Man, we've got Animal Man fighting a zombified version of Hawkman.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
Isn't it bad?
Yeah.
The artwork is fantastic, specifically in Swamp Thing. I just paged through this. Swamp Thing's artwork has always impressed me.
Poison Ivy and the perfect.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's just a beautiful, beautiful story, and I'm really enjoying it. However, it is not my pick of the month.
Yannick Paquette.
He's brilliant, man.
Rising star.
It
kind of reminds me of Greg Land a little bit, which is a compliment. I love him.
Yeah.
I know Greg Land, there's controversy behind him. Special appearance by Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, but
really?
I was interested.
Damon Lindelof is writing The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight is... Well, it's not The Dark Knight. What is that?
Legends of the Dark Knight,
which is a series I have not looked at yet. He's looking at in the book. It wasn't something I was going into. All right, I'm sticking with Justice League. Justice League 13 was kind of disappointing. I mean, not a whole lot happened. There was some great conversation between Flash and Cyborg. They had some good conversation that was humanizing. We had some controversy between Superman and Wonder Woman because, they kissed and Wonder Woman's like, this doesn't mean that we're a couple, and Superman's like, oh, I know. It was still nice. And Wonder Woman's like, yeah, okay. And so that was kind of fun. And they did the Steve Trevor. They visited him in the hospital, and
Superman, the one guy on planet Earth, when Wonder Woman says, we're not a couple, he goes, okay. He's there. Everyone else is like, can we please be a couple? Superman,
Trevor already did the please can we be a couple thing, so
it's gotta be rough on poor Steve Trevor. I read those issues.
Yeah.
You had the most perfect woman in the world, and now she just wants
and
to be
friends. And then he just did.
Well, how do I, what do I do now?
Well, we were always just friends. So, yeah, no, I've been in those relationships, Steve. I can relate. But no. Anyways, Justice League, it was okay. And the backup story with Steve Trevor, they introduced the Justice League of America. Yes.
Okay.
That's will be reviewed later. But there's Justice League Dark, and now there's Justice League of America, which is the Justice League that we all know and what we expected Justice League to become. But no, it's not. I'm sticking with it because I've been with it, so it's gonna be there. So.
It's the flagship title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Me with the Avengers.
Yeah.
You just stick with it.
They have definitely set up Justice League as the flagship title.
Yeah.
Of the new 52.
It really is, though. I mean, it's a good story. It's Geoff Johns. It's good. It's Geoff Johns.
Jim Lee still, right?
Missing. No, Jim Lee is not doing the art. And
he's off of that now? Is it just one issue, or is he done with it?
He's done.
Well, he's kind of one of the head honchos now out there, isn't he?
He is.
All right.
He is. So is Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
And I miss Jim Lee very, very much.
Yeah, artwork looks pretty good there.
The artwork's okay,
but still
it's
him,
not
isn't
Jim
it?
Lee. No.
Who is it?
That's what I'm looking for.
Harry, you keep going. I'll look.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Well, now let me get on to my picks of the month. Oh my God. Death of the Family started this month, and the Batman titles are off the charts. Joker has returned, people. And this is...
Wait, did they have a picture of him? Did they finally reveal? Can you show it? I haven't seen it. I know...
They don't
do
have...
Do you know the whole story behind this film? Where he tore his face off?
Yeah. It's stapled on.
Yes.
Now, is he... Did they show him inside?
They have not... Here, you can...
Oh.
That's the prologue.
That was a...
Here you go.
All right, thanks.
It is... The best. It really is the best. I mean, I am so happy with Scott Snyder right now. This story is the Joker that this Joker makes Heath Ledger's Joker look like a child's cartoon. I'm so happy with this story. It is fantastic. So I am definitely, that is definitely my pick of the month, and I am sticking with all of my bad titles.
All of your bad titles.
All of my bad titles. All the ones that stick, that work into Death of the Family. So that's what I got. For Stuck Stick Pick Sign. Oh, no, I don't really have a Sayonara this month. But we are moving now into Retro Reviews, which is also me.
It's your month, buddy.
Yeah, it is my month. And I'm going to rave. Oh, he is so good, isn't he?
Are you double bagging?
So, I am. I actually... This messed me up.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I think I messed you up. Anyways, I think I'm messing you up big time this month because of my lack of sleep.
No, you're doing Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And has anyone seen the animated movie yet? Because I haven't.
I was actually going to address that, how they were definitely making that an animated movie. I have not seen it.
It's been out for a while.
Just heard about it today, actually. But now Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns really brought Batman from Adam West to the Dark Avenger that we know him as today.
This is in 1986.
Yeah.
It didn't really, though. I mean, Batman had taken a more serious tone since then, but he was still sort of, like, the title was not doing well.
He was still recovering.
Like, the general pop culture sort of view of him was still... You were still a couple years away from the Tim Burton...
Yeah. Let me tell you what. Frank Miller's insight into the human psyche is... unparalleled. This book was fantastic. Have you guys read it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
I gotta tell you.
This book was... Go for it.
I got it when my mom bought it for me because it's a Batman comic. And, like, I was reading it when it came out back in 86. And I'm like, I don't think... She had no idea what she was handing me. And I had no idea what I was getting when I read that.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God,
what
that was
the
dark.
Hell is going on?
Wow, it was a dark book.
I saw the
preview clip of when he first comes back as Batman and he takes out one of those, he just beats up some like bank robber or something.
Where, I think it's one of the mutants, isn't it?
I don't remember. All right. But the cop comes up behind him and he says, "You broke that man's back. He's young, he'll recover, but you will be afraid." And you're like, yes, he will. He's going to be afraid.
Oh my God, it was dark, it was gritty. We had a 55-year-old Batman trying to reclaim his role as the Dark Knight. And it's a brilliant story. It's brilliantly executed. And it teams up, and you can see, like, through the story, he's talking to Dick, and Dick is no longer there. They've got a new Robin. The Robin is a 12-year-old...
Carrie Kelly, right?
Yeah, Carrie Kelly. She's 13 in the story?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. She's great. Alfred is trying to keep him sane and failing miserably, but he's still supporting his boss. We've got Jim Gordon, who is outed as the commissioner and replaced by...
Well, he'd retired it.
Yeah, he retired. I mean, but he offered to come back on to support them. Okay, this Gotham City is being overrun right now by a gang of teenagers called the Mutants. The Mutants are, in this story, the Mutants are savage, the Mutants are disgusting depravities of humanity. And Jim Gordon had retired, publicly announced his retirement, but offered to come back on to, you know, oversee the pursuit of this gang of mutants. Also going on in Gotham City is that the town has turned against Batman. The town no longer likes Batman.
Well, he had been gone.
He has been gone for so long, but the public's view of him has altered. They're seeing him as a public menace now. As someone who kind of takes the law into his own hands, and he is actually seen as a criminal.
So what do you think? Does it hold up? Because they were talking to something that's going on... Well, shoot, it's going on 30 years, isn't it?
Yeah. It holds up. It was gripping. It was intense. It not only holds up, it surpasses a lot of stuff that both companies are putting out right now.
It is a classic. Whenever you talk about great graphic novels, I mean, it's at
that's
the top
up there.
Of the
list. That's up there with Watchmen and V for Vendetta.
Year one.
And yeah. Yeah. No, this is... It was a great book. The artwork was not what I was used to. But that's, again, this is that time. And it fit with the story.
Yeah, he's almost drawn like the Hulk.
Yeah.
In this. He's very broad-shouldered, yes. Very beefy.
That's what they wanted him to be, though.
Sure. Yeah. Well, he almost has to be at this point. He's not going to be as agile, so he's got to use brute force.
And I love how they address his age and how he's having the... I love how Frank Miller talks about him talking about how he was so much faster when he was younger, how this would never have happened to him if he was younger, how... He could have gotten away with that if he was younger, and how he's so handicapped by his age.
Yeah.
I love how human he is in this story.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when I read it in 1986, I sat down to read that comic. It changed my view of comics, where it was no longer just, oh, this is something I'm going to do for, you know... This is a nice little hobby, and I didn't care. Like, as a kid, you don't know to keep the comics, but that one, I'm like, I am not getting rid of this. I can't let this around, because my mom was super cool. Like, she would read some of the comics with me. Like, when she would give me those, I had to put them away so she wouldn't see them. Because if she picked it up where, like, Batman's twisting the Joker's head off his shoulders, she's going to go, "What in the hell are you reading,
brilliant.
Boy?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to
or when the Joker actually does it to himself. Like
the reality of it is that Batman is the first Batman I read.
Oh, wow.
Because I was born in 85. So the first Batman I read, my dad had given it to my brother, and my brother let me read it. And that's my first Batman, and that's why I love Batman. And that was like one of the things that got me into comic books, was that specific book.
Did anyone ever read The Dark Knight... What was it called? He did a sequel about 10 years ago. It
did not meet with very high. I went to a comic store, and I pre-ordered it and prepaid for it, and the thing closed, and I never got it, and I still haven't picked it up.
I wouldn't want him to write a sequel to this.
Well, he did.
I know it's out there. I know he did, but I really wouldn't.
I think it's called The Dark Knight Rises.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you see, like, maybe 15 years from now, Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan going back and doing this? I'm holding out hope for that. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Someone's going to need a career at that point revived, so...
Dark Knight Rises again.
The Dark Knight...
No, they could just do The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
so... That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
So, but I think then. That is...
It definitely holds
up. That is
up,
the point of
and
doing
I can't,
the point
I could talk forever about it. Because it did great work with the media perception and all this stuff, and it was great.
Good.
If you have not read The Dark Knight Rises, The Dark Knight Returns, and you're into comics, it is, even if you're not like a Batman fan.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm not DC at all, but that book is up there on like my top.
That's definitely what I've been thinking too. So, what I'm looking forward to, we're moving on to now a section called What You're Looking Forward To. What I am looking forward to most right now. I can't even think of what I'm looking forward to, so I'm just going to pass to my friend Darren.
I'm looking forward to seeing how Arrow develops. I mentioned I'm looking forward to more Finding Gossamer. Looking forward to some more the Phantom starting up again. Mm-hmm. Definitely looking forward to January when Dark Horse is putting out a new Star Wars comic.
Really?
And it's going to focus on the original trilogy characters. It's disavowing, from what I have read, I don't know if this is completely true, but it's disavowing the prequels completely.
Something every fan everywhere wants to do.
I have no problem telling you that as a kid, nothing ranked above Star Wars for me. It was the number one. As much as I love Superman and love Batman, Star Wars was my A number one. And I could not have been. I think it was about 20 minutes into episode 2, I went, I'm done. I thought, I'm no longer afraid of Darth Vader. That's it, I'm done. And I've never been able to go back and watch the original movies. I've never picked up a single comic or anything. It's almost like I don't even want to look at Star Wars.
They turned the best antagonist in American film history into a whiny little...
An emo teenager, essentially.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like... I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that how much I was into Star Wars that... What? Episode 2 was 2002, right? So for 10 years now, I never even saw all of Episode 3. I mean, if you would have told me when episode 1 was getting ready to come out that you won't even see the entire episode 3, I would have looked at you in the face and said, you are out of your freaking mind. Because I was sucking up all the re-release toys. I was doing everything. And I haven't gone back. And it's hard for me to believe as I sit here in 2012, we're having a comic book podcast, that I still have this enduring love for Superman and Batman. And I found new loves for Doctor Who. And, like, can I revive Star Wars for myself? Because I loved Star Trek before Star Wars, because that was around longer. And I revived Star Trek for myself, because I didn't even touch Star Trek for like 10 years.
Oh, I love Star
Trek. And
then
when the last movie came out, I was like, holy crap.
Abrams really kicked
it
out of the park.
So, that's great. I've been like picking up Star Trek comics. I'm looking forward to the new movie coming out. So I'm actually looking forward very much to that new comic. And in fact, I'm going to do a segment on our podcast. Can Darren revive Star Wars for him? So I'm gonna like one of my reviews, my retro review is gonna be an old Star Wars comic. I'm gonna do some stuff and we'll see if I can get back into it. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Skyfall, The Hobbit, things are coming up.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
My turn. A few comics, all new X-Men. I'm excited to see what Bendis is going to do with X-Men. It's his first run with X-Men. We'll see. I read a little blip for it in a teaser, and it seems interesting. Seems Beast goes back to grab the original X-Men.
That I did see.
There was a conversation between Beast and Beast. It seems interesting.
That did look like fun.
January's going to be big for me as well. Superior Spider-Man. Going to find out who Spider-Man is. This is after we find out what happens to our current Spider-Man.
Peter Parker. Miles Morales.
It's not
Miles Morales. Tobey Maguire.
No, stop. Not
Toby.
I know for a fact it's not Miles Morales because I've already seen the cover for issue 2 and it has Spider-Man's mask rolled up.
James A. Garfield.
And he's making out with MJ. MJ does not look happy about it, but he's white. So he's not Miles.
Why has it got to be white, man?
No, always got to be white, man. I mean, that's pretty much
Dick
it. I'm looking forward to S.H.I.E.L.D. when it finally does.
Maybe Jason Todd.
That would be cool.
Yeah. When it does finally surface, and I'm looking forward to AVX Dum being Dum in Dugan. The past. Stop.
Who? Dum Dum Dugan.
No. Dupe. But I'm looking forward to AVX being done so I can move past it. I understand it was set up as a main masterpiece for what's to come.
And all it was. Until it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. All the new mutants are going to be important. I'm assuming that's going to be a lot of what's going on with the X-Force titles. And I don't know. Let me just say something.
The entire point of House of M was to cut back on the over-surplus of mutants.
And the whole point of AVX was to fix that.
And the whole point...
Stop. We're getting into it next time.
Sorry.
And in DC, we call that Blackest Night. How'd that work out for us?
Yes. You're right.
So generally, I'm looking forward to Marvel now. I'm going to keep my wallet tight to me, though. And I think I'm going to maybe pick up issues one of the ones that I'm actually interested in and kind of go from there. I'm not going to be surprised if I start sayonara-ing some of my Avengers titles once they reboot. I know I'm going to stick with the original Avengers for a while, but who knows. I'm excited for Marvel now, but AVX kind of put a sour taste in my mouth with Marvel. If it wasn't for Hawkeye and Spider-Man, I would have had a pretty big fit with Marvel. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And we're moving on to plugs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny.
All right. Well, we've got next Friday here at the Nervous Dog in Stowe. Next Friday, we're having the Haunted Dog, which is a compilation art show costume party.
I want to come so bad.
I've got 5 local artists. We've got Andy Hopp, who is currently hanging on the walls, Stephanie Thompson, Henry Garden, Fish, and introducing Eliza Gonzalez. It's going to be a costume party. It's going to be awesome. It's from 7 to 10 next Friday. Is that the 26th?
Yes.
October 26th at the Nervous Dog. Come wear your costumes. Come dressed as your favorite comic book character, fictional character, historical figure, element, food, anything you want. It's going to be awesome. And that's what I'm plugging right now.
On the same website as we listen to our Delectable podcast, you can listen to my other podcast, the Life in Northeast Ohio podcast. This month I've got David Ludick. I interviewed him a year ago for his haunted house or his haunted wood. He calls it the Haunted Wood. He's a high school senior now, I believe, at Hudson High. He's a son of a good friend of mine. And she says, "Hey, can you interview him? It'd be good for his, say he's been interviewed." I'm like, "Yeah, sure. I'll put him on." This kid put together. He actually has his monsters doing acting warm ups, and like he actually has them subscribe to like an acting theory. And every year he's built it up, so you can listen to that. Next month I have Debbie LeBeau from Good to Go in Stowe. It's a catering restaurant, or a restaurant that is catered. She is the chef and owner. I sat down with her just a couple of days ago. She is so delightful. I enjoyed talking with her. We talked for a good 45 minutes, and I really enjoyed that. So you'll be able to catch that next month in November.
Excellent.
As for me, if you've been following my blog at all, you will notice that I've kind of laid off my reviews of Amazing Spider-Man. I was waiting until I got to issue 100. I'm going to do a big blowout up to 100 because there's a big thing happening in issue 100. Other than that, as I said before, I'm going to do a giant AVX review next month in our podcast.
Johnny, have you read all of those too?
Yes.
Are you going to join them on that?
I can give you issues 1 through 12 just for the basis if you want, Darren.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Just so we can have a conversation.
Just so we can talk about it. Not all the tie-ins. Yeah. I'm going to read all the tie-ins again. And after the podcast, or slightly prior to it, I'm going to post an overall feeling about AVX on my blog. So those are the only things I'm working on at the moment. So I believe that's it for me, Johnny.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Panel Scanners. As always, I'm Johnny Caps, and I'm going to go to sleep now.